Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We are blessed to have one of my favorite Bible teachers and pastors. And I'm not joking. Andy Woods from Andy Woods Ministries. He's got a book out called The Bible and Your Vote, Equipping the American Christian to Stand for Righteousness at the Ballot Box. We talked about that with him last time we had him on, and that will never go out of style or out of print. I mean, this is something that Christians need to understand as we plow forward here in America. Brother, thank you so much. Good to see you, Andy.
David, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome, brother. So before we get into some of the topics that you had already shared in your pastor's point of view, which I appreciate those. What are you at, 350s now? 356, 57?
I think we're getting ready to record 355 and 356.
Okay. Wow. Amazing. And I know you never saw that coming when you first started doing recordings on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about the massive amount of lawsuits that these radical judges are coming against the Trump administration. And this is really infuriating a lot of people. But before we do that, we have to start with some good news, because we're going to talk about Paul the White Cane as well and some other things technologically. But Pete Hegseth is stirring up trouble. And I think it's the kind of trouble that we would appreciate. Andy, he's sparking criticism for, in particular, his prayer to King Jesus at a Pentagon event. But one of the things he's doing is, he's trying to influence people for Christ and for righteousness. He's having what was called the Secretary of Defense Christian Prayer and Worship Service. And I think people are pretty peeved about this because I think in the past, maybe past administrations were afraid to do something like this so overtly Christian. I'm thankful for a lot, not all, but a lot of men and women of God in this cabinet, in the Trump administration. And like I said, we're going to talk about some that we need to be concerned about. There's a lot of red flags as well. But as far as Hegseth and others, I would love to get your take on some of the things they're doing and at least what they're trying to do.
Well, if you look at people like Tulsi Gabbard and Dan Bongino, Pete Hegseth, Pam Bondi, et cetera, I mean, the reason I like all of them is they're disruptors. These big three-letter agencies in the prior regime, I'll call it, / administration, they were weaponized against the American people.
Yeah.
And now these guys, who many of them were victims, you look at what they did to Tulsi Gabbard, you know, now she's head of one of these big agencies. So, you know, who better to put in charge than someone that, you know, was a victim of one of these three-letter agencies? So one of the things I like about Hegseth and others is they're disrupting, you know, I think they're intentionally picked by Trump to, you know, disrupt the direction of those agencies. And you see examples of it right now with Hegseth, with what you're talking about now, this church service that he called for. You know, so he, to me, sounds like Thomas Jefferson. I think, if I remember my history right, Thomas Jefferson ordered the Marine band, if I remember right, to play in his church. And he, you know, had church, they had in the founding era, they had church services right there at the Capitol. So he's just getting back to what the country was founded on. So I say, you know, praise the Lord and amen.
So it's interesting. The New York Times is one of the many radical leftist, socialist, communist, whatever, maybe outlets that are coming against him. And they were critical of Hegseth, and they've been publishing stories implying that he wants to start a new crusade while highlighting his Latin tattoo, which drew scrutiny as the rallying cry of the first crusade in 1095. But Elizabeth Warren sent a 33-page letter to Hegseth complaining about his tattoo. They are nitpicking, they're majoring the minors, trying to distract, but They just obviously don't like the biblical worldview and anyone who boldly stands for Christ. That's obvious. So, Andy, before we get into this next article, and friends, Andy covered this in his pastor's point of view recently. You can go to his YouTube channel, Andy Woods Ministries, and look at the pastor's point of views. You covered this one, 220 lawsuits in 100 days. It's almost astounding, but it shouldn't surprise us. But we want to talk about some of the details on that and how people get away with that in this day and age. And well, let's just go there right now. It's so important because I've talked about lawfare before with other guests, but this goes almost beyond that because here the president that was elected by an overwhelming majority of the people, meaning they want these policies that the Trump administration is trying to implement, they're being these wrenches are thrown in and blocks are thrown in by district judges or federal judges. They shouldn't have that kind of power. That was never intended by our founders. And I would love to get your thoughts right off the top before we dive into some of the details.
Well, I think it was Chuck Schumer that when Donald Trump was elected, before he got sworn in, he got on to PBS and he said, don't worry. And these are his words, not mine. We have 235 progressive judges in place, you know, to stop the Trump agenda. So, you know, that just shows you that our judiciary, it has become politicized, which was never its purpose. Federalist Paper number 78 indicates that the judicial branch of government was supposed to be the least dangerous branch. Thomas Jefferson said, you know, very clearly that once you consider judges the ultimate arbiters of what the Constitution means, you know, since they're appointed for life at the federal level, that plunges us into what Jefferson called a despotism, tyranny, and an oligarchy, where all decisions are just made by a few people that are insulated from the public. And we now have a situation where it's gotten so bad with an overactive judiciary that district courts, that's the lowest level at the in the federal system, are now making nationwide injunctions and taking the executive branch and putting it in handcuffs. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what a district judge is. They handle cases within their district.
Yeah.
that's what the name means, right? And also, they issue opinions, meaning they're not supposed to have this legal force, you know, that they have today where they can, you know, put handcuffs on the executive branch for doing nothing more than doing what the majority of the people elected Donald Trump to do. And for doing nothing more than what the Constitution allows the president to do. So it's gotten so bad and it's gotten so out of hand, you know, that we want to talk about the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. Part of that is the hassle and harassment he's had to go through with 220 lawsuits filed against him. You know, isn't that a little extreme? And so that we're in the middle of, I believe, a constitutional crisis because judges at the lowest level, elected by nobody, are tying the hands of the executive branch for fulfilling their role under the Constitution and for doing what they were elected, the president was elected to do.
Okay, I don't want to stray too far from this topic, but if we had a media in the country that adhered to the true principles of journalism, and we're not politicized, we're not leftists, Democrats, socialists, and Marxists, we wouldn't have these we wouldn't be having this conversation because these things, they would have not covered for the left and the Democrats and the weaponization of government when all these agencies, when Biden, the O'Biden administration was in power. So the media is part of this rail that's a major problem because they're not complaining about what these judges are doing. Maybe some are reporting fairly, but we know the media well enough after so many decades that they're in it. They're in it to win it back for the left. Your thoughts on that before we go on, Andy?
Well, virtually every poll I've seen going back to the 1980s has the values of the American people over here, and the media's values are the exact opposite on every issue, whether it's abortion, capital punishment, how frequently do you attend church, you know, those kinds of issues. And so the left has just done an amazing job. Hats off to them in terms of their effectiveness in stacking our fourth estate, you know, the media, so that we don't have anyone to turn the searchlight of truth on these constitutional violations and counterbalances, overbalances, whatever you want to call it, that we're talking about here, which makes your show and those like it, you know, all the more important, you know, this day and age.
So let me read a quote from the article and then we'll go on. It says, while the Trump administration has had some victories in the courts, federal judges have blocked key parts of Trump's agenda, ranging from parts of his immigration policy and military guidelines to his effort to roll back diversity and equity initiatives, DEI. Oh, my goodness. And we've been warning on this program for quite some time that we're thrilled with some of the executive orders, Andy Woods, but we are not confident that it's going to get to the local level. Or at least in schools or in culture. And this is part of the reason, because there is so much resistance and some of it is demonic. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I like your word demonic. It's basically a bunch of people elected by no one, ideologues to the core, no real concern about the original intent of the Constitution, you know, abusing their positions of power to prevent Donald Trump from doing what the Constitution allows him to do and what he was overwhelmingly elected to do. And so it really is a constitutional crisis where one branch of government is completely out of control and neutralizing the legitimate activity in another branch of government, like closing the border, shrinking the budget. Now they've jumped in and they're trying to stop him from his economic policies. Mm-hmm. You know, related to tariffs, all of these illegals that Biden brought in that had no respect for due process, you know, in the way in. Now we're told they've got to be given all of this layers and layers of due process to get them out. I mean, it's just one thing after another, you know, trying to turn planes around in midair to get illegal gang members back home, they say. Well, this isn't their home.
No.
Venezuela or wherever they came from is their home. Yeah. So that's the first 100 days of the Trump administration. There's been some great victories he's had, but boy, he's had to fight every step of the way with a coordinate branch of government that's out of control.
So Andy, did in your opinion or in your research and what you've been looking at, did they must have seen this coming. They must have known the opposition would be fierce and the resistance and this tactic that they're using with judges. The Trump administration wasn't surprised by this, were they?
No, because Trump had 4 years to think through all of this stuff. I mean, he really didn't have that luxury in his first term. But I can guarantee you this much. He wasted no time during the 4 years when Biden was running the show. If Biden was even running the show is a matter of debate. But Trump was thinking through all of this, and they were thinking through all of it, too. What if Trump gets back in? That's why that quote from Schumer on PBS where he said, don't worry, we've got 235 progressive judges in place to fight the Trump agenda. They had this planned out. I don't think Trump is surprised, but the judicial branch has been somewhat effective, you know, mm-hmm. at neutralizing some of the specific things he wants to do and was elected to do. And keep in mind, when the judiciary does this, it's not an attack on Trump. It's an attack on we the people.
That's right.
You know, that put Trump in office.
That's right. So, Andy, we got to take a brief break in a minute, but I know they meaning the Christians, conservatives, Republicans, the Trump administration, they have the will to push this through and fight this. The question is, do they have the manpower to fight this?
Well, what we really need is the House and the Senate to get involved, because you'll notice that all of these lower court judges, circuit, district court, are not mentioned in the Constitution. You know, they serve at the pleasure of the United States Congress. And what Congress put into place, Congress can take out of place. Congress can get rid of some of these courts, you know, in my understanding, through a simple majority vote. Article 3, if I'm reading it right, gives them, you know, that kind of power. And if they don't want to get rid of a court or abolish a court, they could shrink their jurisdiction and say, you know what, you're no longer allowed to handle cases, you know, like this that affect the president. Or they could take their salaries and cut them in half. Do you think that would get their attention? They could take their retirement, which is the best retirement system in the solar system, and chop that up. You think that would get their attention? Yeah. I mean, Trump needs some help from the legislative branch to deal with these rogue judges.
Yeah. So before we take a break, I just want to bring up a quote by Stephen Miller, and maybe on the other side of the break, you can respond to it or share your thoughts. I love what you shared on your pastor's point of view. He said in a tweet, the Democrats appointed communist judges in a handful of America's most liberal cities. Those unelected communist judges are now trying to rule over us all and invalidate the 2024 electoral landslide. And I would say to that, fact check, true. But we'll be right back with Andy Woods on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. So to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. So you can visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Andy Woods, now they're dealing with this issue of birthright citizenship. Before we move on to the next article we wanted to discuss, this is an interesting one because it shouldn't even be a debate when you look at the Constitution. Can you explain that to us?
Well, keep in mind that the left has hijacked the 14th Amendment for a long time. They've read stuff into that that isn't there. That's part of the basis for the infamous, you know, Roe versus Wade ruling. There's a provision there about riots, and they were trying to, you know, say Trump started a riot on January 6th. And so they were using something there in the 14th Amendment concerning riots and insurrections and things like that. That's why they kept talking about January 6th being an insurrection. They were trying to hijack the 14th Amendment to prevent Trump from being on the ballot. You remember some of the states didn't even put him on the ballot right away because of that argument. And now they're doing the same thing with this birthright citizenship thing, which is this idea that if you're illegal and you happen to have children in this country, then automatically they're granted citizenship of the citizenry, being citizens of the United States. All of those issues are just read into the 14th Amendment because the 14th Amendment has a context, just like in Bible study, we emphasize context. Well, the 14th Amendment has a context. The context of the 14th Amendment is it's a post-Civil War constitutional amendment. It's one of three, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment. And it's designed to give rights to recently emancipated slaves, thanks to Abraham, the Civil War, and Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, etc. So that's what the 14th Amendment is dealing with. It's not dealing with abortion. It's not dealing with birthright citizenship. It's not dealing with, you know, if the president leads an insurrection January 6th, he's barred, you know, from becoming president of the United States. It's got nothing to do with those issues. They fit a very narrow context. And I'm hoping our Supreme Court, you know, will rule in that direction and expose this birthright citizenship argument for the fallacy that it is. I'm a little bit nervous, though, because they don't seem to be going the right direction recently on a lot of things. So the 14th Amendment is not some kind of, you know, blank check to read any ideological idea people have into the 14th Amendment. It has a context, and a good jurist, you know, following original intent interpretive methodology will call attention to that.
Okay. we've got to move on because we're just going by way too fast, as I knew it would with you, Andy. I do want to come back and wrap up talking about Paula White Kane. And we've talked about her on the show before. We've done a whole program with Holly Pivick on her false teachings, NAR, and everything else, and our concerns about her position and her influence on the president. There probably are some great people in that faith office in advising the president, but this is concerning. She spoke at the World Summit 2025, and I love what you shared in your pastor's point of view. But before we do that, there's a fascinating article on Sam Altman. And this goes a completely different direction right now, briefly, but it's about technology and these eye scanning, this eye scanning technology. This is really interesting. And you were concerned about apparently the Trump administration or Trump's friendship or relationship with Sam Altman. Can you explain that for us?
Well, those are probably I've been real positive, bullish, so to speak, on Trump and all his executive orders. The two downsides are this one here that you're talking about, and then the Paula White issue. This one kind of bothers me because, to me, it's moving us in a cashless direction. And as we move in a cashless direction, you know, personal privacy disappears. The government can only track me so far when I'm trafficking in cash. But the moment all of my transactions are done electronically through eye scanning or whatever they're trying to do here, is the moment that there's a paper trail on me, so to speak. And they can run a sort of an inventory on me. And should that technology fall into the wrong hands, and biblically we know that's going to happen one day, you know, via the Antichrist, the whole system is now in place to shut people out that don't have the right buying behavior. The whole system is in place for a social credit score system, which China, it's not conspiracy talk, China has it. And the moment, you know, as Trump is sort of in bed with all of these types of CEOs moving this direction, that's the part of the Trump administration that kind of bothers me.
It is concerning, and it's almost like you can't get away from technology. Yeah. And they sell it, as you said in your PPOV, they sell it under convenience and things like that. But Christian, buyer beware, but Christian, discern. So, all right, let's move right along here. Paula White Kane, she praised the United Nations and, my goodness, ecumenism. And Andy, just share your thoughts on this. This was so unfortunate. I think a lot of people don't know what she believes in her background.
Well, I mean, this is another downer of on the Trump side, even though I'm very positive about Trump overall. But yes. I'm not even sure, and this is just my opinion, I'm not even sure Paula White is an actual Orthodox, you know, Christian. Because ever since I've known anything about Paula White, she believes in the little gods doctrine. Mm-hmm. That you're the son of a king, and as a little god, you deserve a life of health and wealth and prosperity, and you just have to have enough faith to access it and to speak these verbal laws which command these things into existence for you. So that's where you get the name it and claim it, you know, blab it and grab it, as some people have called it, a type of theology. And then to watch her not only in that position, boy, he could have put Jack Hibbs in that position. I mean, there's a ton of other people that would have been excellent for that, he chose Paula White. And then there's Paula White in April at that big global UN type of event using John 17, may they be one, where Jesus prays that we'd all be one, arguing that Reverend Sung Young Moon and his ilk and Muslims and Paula White's version of evangelical Christianity, may we all come together, when in reality that's not what Jesus was praying for at all in John 17. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Verse 17 comes before verse 21, which was what Paula White was citing. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. So when Christ prayed for unity, he prayed for it on a foundation of truth. He didn't pray for it in kind of the Tower of Babel sense where, you know, all of these diverse philosophies and theologies come together as one. And by the way, that prayer request was already answered that Jesus prayed for there in John 17. It was answered on the day of Pentecost with the body of Christ and the baptizing ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about something that we ought to go out through ecumenism and try to force into existence, you know, in the year 2025.
Thank you. Excellent point. Excellent point. Because a lot of people think, well, what it sounds good to be, quote, welcoming and unite with world religions or other. But you're thinking, okay, there is only one truth. These are false gospels. Some of them aren't even gospels. They're ideologies or things that go against what the Bible teaches. So to try to have unity, I don't know what the advantage of that would be. I guess to maybe look like there's peace in the world, but that's never going to happen, right?
Well, I mean, you're dealing with politics, so I guess you get more votes by saying we're all one. I mean, that's the only motive I can think of. Certainly as a local church pastor, you know, that wants to teach the truth, I would never embrace, you know, something like this. But then again, I'm not trying to win any elections. I'm just trying to get through the next Bible study. So, you know, people in different positions do different things, but however we analyze it, what Paula White was doing there was more of an antichrist spirit than a Christian spirit. I mean, she was calling for unity with religious viewpoints that are unbiblical. And that's not at all what Jesus was talking about in John 17. I mean, not only was the prayer request that he prayed to the Father already answered, but verse 17 coming before verse 21 mentions truth. And so he was talking about a unity, you know, upon the platform of truth. I mean, unity isn't biblical unity if it doesn't come, if it's not on the right platform of truth. I mean, unity just for the sake of unity is like a Rodney King mentality, you know, can't we all just get along?
That's right.
Which is not what Jesus was talking about.
I think in our next, maybe we should have another conversation next time we have you on the podcast, Andy, about how they screen some of these pastors and religious leaders and people that are advisors to President Trump. I would love to know what that process looks like and who they select, how they select these people. Anyway, love you, brother. Thank you so much for all you do. Appreciate your ministry and your time today.
Hey, David, great to be here. Sorry I talked a little too much and it went by too fast.
Oh, no way. No way. You never, okay. never. All right. Did go by fast. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.